I find it hard to believe this many people were soaked in, but that's all right, huh? Yeah. All right. Going to start off this morning with Naval Lieutenant Chris Day.
Good morning. I'd like to read the citation for the Medal of Honor for Second Lieutenant Audie Murphy. Medal of Honor, by direction of the President, behind him, to his right, one of our tank destroyers received a direct hit and began to burn. Its crew withdrew to the woods. Lieutenant Murphy continued to direct artillery fire, which killed large numbers of the advancing enemy infantry. With the enemy tanks abreast of his position, Lieutenant Murphy climbed onto the burning tank destroyer, which was in danger of blowing up any instant, and employed its 50 caliber machine guns against the enemy. He was alone and exposed to the German fire from all three sides, but his deadly fire killed dozens of Germans and caused their infantry attack to waver. The enemy tanks, losing infantry support, began to fall back. For an hour, the Germans tried every available weapon to eliminate Lieutenant Murphy, but he continued to hold his position and wiped out a squad which was trying to creep up unnoticed on his right flank. Germans reached as close as 10 yards, only to be mowed down by his fire. He received a leg wound, but ignored it and continued the single-handed fight until the ammunition was exhausted. He then made his way to his company, refused medical attention, and organized the company in a counterattack which forced the Germans to withdraw. His directing of artillery fire wiped out many of the enemy. He personally killed or wounded about 50. Lieutenant Murphy's indomitable courage and his refusal to give an inch of ground saved his company from possible encirclement and destruction and enabled it to hold the woods, which had been the enemy's objective. By order of the Secretary of War, Edward Witzel, Major General.
Would you all please stand and join us in singing number 508. Psalm 508 is America the Beautiful.
Thank you.
you, Wes. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Brian. Well, let's see. Come on. Testing 1, 2. Technical difficulty. We got it? Okay. People like Jim Langston and John Harvey and I, America's not the miracle we knew when we were young. It has changed unbelievably since we were young. And we say God bless America. I don't know why he should. If he doesn't do something in judgment of America, he owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. That's the best way I know how to word it. He owes them an apology if he doesn't take America down. We are just so immoral, anti-God, anti-Semitic, anti the Word of God, and so unbelievably immoral that, but for those men and women that died in our history of our country, dying for America, dying for the freedom of this country so that you and I could meet here and study the Word of God as we see fit, that's what we celebrate tomorrow and our understanding of Memorial Day. Let's talk about some prayer things. First of all, I need to continue being in prayer for Thomas and things develop as far as his body's concerned. And now we need to be in fervent prayer for Mackenzie Wise. It's the 10th of June.
Yes, sir. 10th of June.
Yeah. So please be in prayer for Mackenzie. She goes into heart surgery. And please be in prayer for her body as she gets to that point, and then for the doctors, and for the recovery after the surgery. So please be in prayer for Mackenzie. I got some pictures, Chris. You know the area where we meet on that one night up on the where the concrete, the pavilion, and then the cross is in front of it? Do you know the water is almost up at the crossbar of the cross?
It doesn't surprise me.
I mean, I got a picture of that. It was unbelievable. I went, whoa!
Is the girl's cabin underwater? That's the question.
Oh.
I don't know.
Good grief. It didn't show. The person that took the boat and went back didn't take a picture of that, but took a picture of that cross. And that was sent to me. And it was, like I said, almost to the crossbar. And so we're going to learn not only about God at camp this year, we're going to learn about survival. And
learn how to swim.
Learn how to swim. Can you tread water? So that's what God asked the world after the flood in Noah's time. Can y'all tread water for 40 days? And so please be in prayer for camp. How's everything going?
Other than the fact that we haven't been underwater, things are going great. No, absolutely amazing. A lot of work going on now for planning, but we have staff. We've got more kids than we've ever had. We're trying to figure out how to accommodate all of them.
Beautiful.
We haven't turned kids away yet, and we don't want to start this year. So we're working on some things there, but be in prayer. We need be in prayer that Phil takes down his website.
Phil has a website. Pray for rain.
In Jesus' name, right?
In Jesus' name.
I gotta tell my brother, you pray for a rowboat, just do it in Jesus' name.
It's gonna be amazing. I'm very excited, and just God continues to provide everything. The staff, and I think I've mentioned this before. So beautiful, beautiful place.
How are we doing on reservations for the dinner?
We have more than we've ever had.
Fantastic!
Yeah, we have 72 reservations. 80 is the maximum capacity. And again, let's pray that it doesn't rain, because this will be very interesting inside the White House if it does rain. So, all the furniture will be going. going to Herman's house. but we've got an A and a B plan, and we've got 72 people that we're looking forward to serving.
Okay, that is fantastic. More than you've ever had. Wow, that's great. Okay, people be in prayer for camp. We can talk about the direction the youth is going today, or you can pray for these young people and the teachers and the counselors that an impact can be made in regard to these young people that will be at the camp this summer. Now, let's see, any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes?
My sister-in-law, my wife's sister, Joanna, the one that's got the heart problems and had the intestines punctured and
broke her leg.
Well, then she got blood clot in one leg. Now she's got two blood clots in the other leg, and they're giving her daily injections of blood thinner. She needs help.
Wow, she's had a lot of trouble with her body. That's her heart. Good grief. All right, well,
so Peter, are you getting ready with your guest room for June the 5th? Well, when all the Greeks come your way?
Actually, it's already reserved. It's been reserved for a week.
Can't put out a word to all the relatives in Greece. We're moving. All right, any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of at this time? Yes?
There's one young man that we've been, that's been part of our youth group for a long time. He's challenged. His name is DeAndre. DeAndre Miller comes to camp, has been part of it. He's making some really bad choices. So be in prayer that God will continue to convict his soul, and also that he will respond to our reaching out to him.
What is first name?
DeAndre.
DeAndre. So let's be in prayer. Put him on your list, people. Doesn't matter if you know how to spell it correctly. Just put it down. God knows how to spell it correctly.
Just pray for the family that lost their little boy, 2 years old, yeah, and pray for his family. His mother's not handling it well, and of course, for Amy Laura.
What's being talked about here is our 12-year-old granddaughter has a friend that's also 12, 13, and they were out on a four-wheeler, and the little boy driving the four-wheeler missed a turn and went into a ditch and overturned, and his friend Slade called over to him. He called over to his friend. He said he was bleeding his ears and his mouth and his eyes. And they said, "I love you." And they went home. So please be in prayer for Slade's parents. They are born again believers. But people, this is we're going to be studying on Wednesday night about Joseph of Arimathea. Any courage? And this is what a lot of times Christians lack in time when they need it most, is courage. So please be in prayer for the family, and I'll just say be in prayer for my granddaughter. She's having a pretty tough herself, and so please be in prayer for the family and for the friends. You don't need to be in prayer for him. He's home with the Lord celebrating. But for the family and those that are left behind, please be in prayer. Yes.
I have a prayer of thanksgiving and then a continual prayer to lift this family up. We've talked about the Fisher children before. There are two children that joined us in our youth group, and they have been taken out of their home by CPS about 2 months ago and have transitioned from a family friend to another family friend. And you may or may not recall that I was concerned that where they were at now weren't willing to let them come to Bible class with us, or we weren't able to have access to them for about 3 weeks. And God opened the door for me to be able to communicate with them. And what, you know, not knowing where each other stood, it took all those barriers down. And they've been receptive. The children came last week.
Good.
The family has made a reservation to come to the diner.
Good.
The camp applications are in. I met with both parents at different times. They have never had children before. The lady is like seeking parental help advice occasionally. The gentleman asked us, the one girl wasn't going to get out of the car. We don't know what the deal was. We got her to come out and be a part of the group. And they have said, you know, the kids, because they keep going through these ups and downs, sometimes they're mad, sometimes they're happy, whatever. But they had said, one of them said they didn't want to come on Wednesday night. And the lady took such a stance in her understanding of where we were coming from. God fulfilling her with understanding how valuable this was to them, said, well, you want to go to camp, but you're saying you don't want to go on Wednesday night. She said, these people love you. They care about you, and they're preparing all of these things for you, and this is someplace you're going. If you're not going to go to camp, that's fine. Next year, if you choose not to do that, but for now, you're going on Wednesday night.
Good.
So, you know, they don't know anything about anything, but they know that they're enough to get them where they're at. So I just think that God totally has a hand on these children and this whole situation. So.
I think it's tough being a parent that loves the Lord, wants to go to church, and your child doesn't. I love that old woman that reared us. She said, here's the deal. You do not have to go to church on Sunday morning or Sunday night. You don't have to. But you cannot do anything but homework if you stay home. You cannot watch TV. You cannot go out and play. You cannot do anything other than homework. So we all went to church. So it's just a difficult task to be in. Any other prayer requests? Yes?
Well, I'd like to speak to the progress of what happens in my work. It's getting tougher, but it's getting better, and it's getting more fragile. I know it sounds very selfish to pray for this one individual. His name is Mike. He's a project manager. He's kind of, in a way, drowning because he's actually in over his head about the skill set that he doesn't have, and the project is too big. What I need to you all to help praying for this week is actually written on that wall, love does not delight in evil, because I can already foresee what's going to come, that the rest of our team is going to be saying, I told you so. But that this, I feel when I pray that it's a make or break for my soul, because he said that he used to be a believer, which you know what that means. And the rest of the team claim that they go to church, that they're Christians. So let's just pray for them, for all of us, that they actually walk in the Spirit this week. And get behind Mike and help him and bring him back to the Lord.
Good. I'll hear a prayer then. Good. Thank you, Julie. Okay. I have a way of kind of hurting friendships, and this is one of them. I have a nice list here of birthdays. Now, Pat McMillan, I missed it last Sunday. It was last Sunday. It was her birthday, and I missed it. She got away with that, but only for a little while. Jerry Jensen, who is waterbound in Sadler, Texas. And Wes Tuttle, yours is coming up.
Soon.
When?
Soon.
Too soon?
Soon.
Soon.
This
year.
4 years old.
Cameron Dague turns 20 next week, and he's the only one at the age I'll give. I think I'd really have some enemies if I gave ages on the others. But Cameron will be 20 next week. Boy, he's growing up.
He
Gee
is.
Whiz.
We went to dinner with him last night, and the waitress asked him if he was still in high school. So. I was like, I would love if she asked me that.
That's good. And, you know, in today's world, it's so difficult to stay together. And I think we need to have a nice round of applause for Jim and Anel, 56 years together.
Yeah.
Wow. Anel, you're some kind of woman. Hang around for 56 years? That's good. All right. Anel says, when you found a good man, keep him. That's good. The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give. So let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. Now the gracious giver is defined as one, someone who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior. Two, knows how to be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith. We have faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, faith in the Holy Spirit for spirituality. Paul said, if I give everything that I own to the poor so that I myself become poor, but do not have love, it profits nothing. This is not human love. This is a love that comes from the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is imperative that we know how to be filled with the Spirit so that we know how to access His ministries like in giving. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, as you know, our country has set aside tomorrow to celebrate the men and women who sacrificed their lives for our freedom. We're using that freedom right now in worshiping you. And Father, we're so thankful that you've used this humble assembly in so many different ways. On the mission field, missionaries, our young people, right here in our own assembly, our internet, publications, sending out a disc. And Father, we're just overwhelmed with your grace to us. And we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will continue to use this assembly to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. get started, let's take care of some business. Does everyone have the judgment of Gentile nations? And it's got the judgment on it. Does anyone not have it?
Check the cord.
Check the cord.
It's not working still.
Let me just let me have your
cord.
Is it plugged in?
Just pick up one. Just let me have it.
It's going to use the other mic for now.
Just use this? Okay.
Before someone mentions it, I'll admit to error in putting the date at the wrong place at the bottom of the wrong date.
Wrong date? Can't even read it. Okay. Does anyone not have the judgment of Gentile nations? And it says Matthew 25, 31 through 46. Everyone have one? Good. Now, John, do you mind passing these out? I appreciate it. Give everybody one. You'll need all of these. As far as the single sheet, the chart, just put that away for a few moments. We'll come to it at the proper time in our study. All right, we are in, we have some visitors this morning. We're in Matthew chapter 24 and 25, which deals with the tribulational period, not the church. This is after the church has been taken out, raptured away. And at the end of the tribulation, Jesus Christ is going to return. And so what we're looking at is at the end of that tribulational period, when Jesus Christ returns, there will be a judgment of the nations and the Gentile nations. So that's what we're in the midst of studying. Let's begin with the word of prayer as we orient ourselves to the plan of God in history. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. This book, Heavenly Father, as you know, takes us into areas we never know. In several places, you take us into heaven, the throne room. You take us into areas of people's minds and thoughts, including that of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we learn of past history, present history, and future history from your word. We pray now that your spirit will open our eyes to things you would have us to see and understand in our study and in our lives. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, there is so much to understand to fully grasp what's happening in Matthew 25, 31 through 46. Unfortunately, there are preachers that take Christ has returned, the campaign of Armageddon is over. The Armageddon campaign is over. And so now he's going to draw all the Gentiles to one place. We will see where that one place is eventually. But let's just read through Matthew 25, 31 through 46, get a feel of what we're here to study. But when the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, comes in his glory, second advent, and all his angels with him. People, angels are so vital to the plan of God. They bring us his word. We studied them in Daniel. They are vital. So they're involved in the angelic conflict. Then He, Jesus Christ, will sit on his glorious throne in Jerusalem. All the nations, and that should be Gentiles, but I'll take care of that later, will be gathered before him. And he will separate them one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say, as Jesus Christ, to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This goes back to prehistoric time. Verse 35. I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. People, this is not about church age. This is about tribulation. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? People, this is nice, but it's not about the church age. Got to stay with Scripture. It is so important to understand where you are when you're dealing in the Bible. Verse 40. The king will answer them, true, say to them,